I have never done this, but I imagine that when you are running a marathon, maybe some of you have, that there is a point where it feels like your legs are just going to give out and your lungs have nothing left in them, and you mentally just want to give up. But when you cross that finish line, the joy of accomplishment overwhelms all of the hardship that you had just gone through. It's not that you're not in pain anymore, but that the pain doesn't matter anymore. I have done this when you are lifting weights. It's the same way. If you are going for a one rep max and the weight is just so heavy and there is a point where it feels when you get to the bottom of the back squat like you'd rather just drop the weight on the rack and fall down on the ground and just give up. But when you push your way back up and you finish the rep and rack that weight, the joy of overcoming weakness, it overwhelms all of the pain that you just felt. God's creation teaches us this reality, that to have goodness, to have triumph, to have success, it takes going through pain, going through hardship, going and pushing through weaknesses. And yet, even though we know this by God's creation, even though we know that God will bring us through on the other end, even though we know He teaches us through suffering, there are those moments. Those moments where you're at the bottom of the squat, or you're at the 24th mile marker, or wherever it is. There are those times where you're in the midst of it, and the end seems so far away. Why is God bringing me through this now? Why is God letting this happen to me now? What good can come from this suffering? I just don't see it. If you don't see the end and you're in the middle of it, it is tempting to doubt, to complain, and sometimes even to just give up altogether. The apostles went through that. They had learned so much from Jesus over their 3 years with Him. Jesus was so wise. Jesus had so much to give them. Whenever they were sick, He healed them. Whenever they had questions, He answered them. And they wanted that to continue. They knew He had come for good things. They knew He had come to save them. But when the time comes for Him to go to the cross and to die, for Him to leave them, they get worried. You can look back through Holy Week and you can see the reaction of the disciples during this time. Peter swearing that he would never leave Jesus' side or deny Him. The disciples giving up and scattering over fear of what was happening. And when Jesus had risen from the dead, not all of them believing right away that it had really happened. Complaining, giving up, doubting. That's the reaction when you go through the hard times. When something that you don't understand why it's happening, something good being taken from you, some suffering coming upon you. Those are the reactions. And that is why Jesus in our gospel for today, when He's talking to the disciples about these things that are going to happen, this John 16, we're going to be reading parts of it for the next 3 weeks. It comes in what we call John's farewell discourse, John 13 through 17, where Jesus is in the room with the disciples where they're going to celebrate the Passover. This is John's Maundy Thursday account. He spends five chapters talking about it. And Jesus is preaching to the disciples about what to do, how to act, what to believe about the things that are going to happen in the future. And that's going to culminate with Pentecost Day, which we'll celebrate in about a month from now, that Jesus is going to send his Spirit to them. But in the meantime, as he's teaching them, giving them this farewell discourse, telling them what they need for this hard time that they're about to go through, he wants to give them something, I think, very basic and very digestible, one very simple fact. And the fact is this. He says it to them this way, a little while and you will not see me, and again a little while and you will see me. You will weep and lament, the world will rejoice, but your sorrow will turn into joy. Again a little while, you will see me. You will be with me, I will be with you, and all will be good again. The very simple and basic thing that he needs to give them, that he wants to give his church in the time when he is not face to face with his church, which is also the time that we are in now, as he has ascended to the Father and we are waiting for him to come again. The very simple fact is this: you have sorrow, but that sorrow will turn into joy. There is a future hope. And that future hope, notice, is exactly in the resurrection of Jesus. In the 3 days he is gone from the disciples, the thing that ends that 3 days is his defeat over death. It is true that in these times of hardship, after Jesus was died and was buried for these disciples particularly, or even now in our times of hardship, when we cannot see Jesus face to face, oh, how much better it would be whenever you go through those hard times, those difficult times, those times of illness, those times of suffering, if Jesus would just come to you, incarnate, face to face, and tell you exactly the timeline of how everything is going to work out, wouldn't that be so nice? But he's ascended to the Father right now. And we will be tempted to doubt, to complain, to give up. But remember what Jesus tells Martha. This is a little bit different story, but I think it's applicable. Whenever Martha is running around the house cleaning, and Mary is sitting there listening to the words of Jesus, and Martha complains to Jesus, "Why don't you tell her to help me?" And Jesus said, "Oh, Martha, oh, Martha, you run around, you're so busy, but there is one thing needful. And Mary has chosen the better portion. The one thing needful is to be with Jesus. The one thing needful is to hear his words. The one thing needful is to have that joy of his resurrection. The one thing needful is to realize this, what Jesus promises so clearly to the disciples: I am coming back, and it will only be a little while. The joy is coming. And so the first thing to remember in any time of suffering is that, focus on that the joy is coming. Because Christ is risen from the dead, that is a fact. It has testimony. And if Jesus is risen from the dead, then he is Lord and King, and everything that he said is coming true, which means he is coming back to you. And so even though it feels at times like you are in the middle of something that you cannot see the end of, the ultimate end is coming. Jesus' second coming is happening because Christ is risen. I didn't know if you were going to catch that one, but you guys are so good at this now. He is risen. And yet notice how confusing this very simple and basic and digestible thing that Jesus tells them is, a little while you won't see me, a little while you'll see me again. It doesn't seem that hard, but what do? They talk among themselves and they say, what does this mean, a little while? We don't know what he's talking about. And that's our nature in those times, isn't it? In this time of the church, in this time when we are in that little while, in this time when we are waiting, we are prone to be confused and prone to remain sorrowful. What does it mean that this revitalization is taking longer than 3 years? What does it mean that the HVAC unit went out when it did? What does it mean that three people so close to the congregation have died within weeks of each other? What does it mean that we have these positions to fill in church and they are so hard to find people to fill them? What does it mean that the Lord allowed me to become sick and injured in this way, in this time? What does it mean that I'm still so shaken from that traumatic event that happened years ago? We are prone to be confused, prone to question, prone to complain, prone to doubt, prone to even give up sometimes. But I think there are two things at least that you can learn from what Jesus preaches to his disciples here. And the first is in the analogy that he gives to help his disciples understand this better. When a woman is giving birth, her sorrow, she has sorrow because her hour has come, but when she has delivered the baby, she no longer remembers the anguish for joy that human being has been born into the world. This is in fact a better analogy than lifting weights or running a marathon. Jesus is better at analogies than me, unsurprisingly. Because if you've ever seen a woman in labor, or if you've ever been a woman in labor, you know one thing, and that is that that baby is coming no matter what. You can try and postpone it. You can try and hide it. You can try and cover up the pain with medicine. But no matter what happens during that labor, the baby is coming. Jesus says the hour has come. You could complain, you could doubt, you could give up, but no matter what, the hour has come and that baby will be born. If the doctors have to, they will just cut it out because it is coming. And that's how it is in a hard time. No matter what the time is, no matter what sorrow has come upon you, know this, the time will pass. Jesus' mercy will bring you through that time. Even if it's not until your final hour comes, even if it's not until Jesus comes back again to bring us home, one way or another, the time will come when that pain, when that suffering will end. And that is by God's providence and by his mercy and by his love that this too shall pass. And yet also notice in that analogy, though, that the woman is the one laboring. She is passive on the one hand in the fact that the baby's coming no matter what, but it is called labor for a reason that she still gets to participate in the pain, participate in the suffering, and bear that pain and push through, literally in this case, when the time comes. And that is how it is also in times of difficulty and confusion. Yes, God's mercy brings us through it. Yes, it will end one way or another. But we are called to labor, to bear through the pain during that time. We are passive on the one hand. It is all by Jesus' mercy alone that he saves us, not by any of our works. But on the other hand, we participate. We labor and suffer as Christ calls us to do. And that is for our good, For as Paul so eloquently puts it, when we can realize that this is God's work in us, we glory in our sufferings. Because we know that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope, and hope does not put us to shame. It cannot do so. And so, dear saints, this is a call to work. Whenever you come to those moments of confusion, those moments of doubt, those moments of wanting to give up, those moments of suffering and pain, ask yourself, how do I labor for Christ in this moment? When you worry about the revitalization, be motivated to mission in Christ. When you worry about the HVAC unit, remember to trust in Christ to provide for our daily needs. When you mourn the loss of loved ones, take that as a moment to remember the resurrection and defeat over death that Christ has brought. When you see the need for lay leadership in the church, ask yourself what your gifts and talents are and how you can serve. When you are sick or injured, remember the one who can heal not just the soul, but the body too. Remember when you are tortured by traumatic events, who suffered even death on the cross, that he would suffer with you in all things and that your life might be hidden in his. That suffering produces hope, and that character and perseverance and labor produces hope, and that hope does not put us to shame. And as you can see, when we get to that hope, you can hear the other thing that Christ teaches his disciples in this gospel lesson, and that is something that Jesus repeats over and over and over again. It appears 7 times in this passage, a little while. It's just a little while. It's not a long while. It's not a while. It's not however long we feel like making it. It is only Jesus promises this a little while. Yes, it might seem like a lifetime of suffering. When you're in the middle of it, it seems like it's lasting forever. It seems like the hours are going by like days or months or years. But 1,000 years is as a day to the Lord. And he was only in the tomb for 3 days. And he fulfilled his promise and he came back to the disciples and they saw his resurrected body and they rejoiced. And so the church says today, we are living in the end times, the last days. Come soon, Lord Jesus, because it will only be soon. It will only be a little while that you must suffer. And that is the future hope, that in a little while, no matter what you're going through now, you will have full and free and perfect and complete joy. And what your good Lord has begun in you, he promises he will bring it to completion in the day of Jesus Christ. And when that day comes, we'll end with these words of Jesus. Your hearts will rejoice, and no one can take that joy from you. To him be all the honor and glory now and forever. Amen. We stand to sing the offertory together.